Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
This is the second of a two-part interview with permaculture teacher Morag Gamble, and we recorded it ahead of the International Festival of Wild and Kind Ideas, which is now underway and is finishing today. That Morag organised. It's free and it's online, and I can highly recommend it. You can still register and catch today's program and also get access to all the sessions that took place during the week. So if you want to go to that, just go to the Permaculture Education Institute website, permaculture-education-institute.org/festival-2026. If you want to register and join the 4,000 or so people from around the world that are all joining in and connecting with each other. But this morning on Local Food Connections, we take up the conversation where we left off last week. Morag was chatting about how our children have been influenced by growing up in an intentional permaculture community, the Crystal Waters Eco Village near Mullaney in southeast Queensland. I hope you enjoy it.
We had a group come here to Mullaney. It was a group of young Well, they're mostly Kenyans and Ugandans, the musicians, and they were told their story through music. And he was, I remember watching him in the audience and he was crying. And then they came out to our garden. We invited them to come out and they sang in the garden, and we showed them what we were doing here with permaculture. And I turned to Hugh and I said, do you want to go and visit them where they are? And he just said, yep, straight away, without him thinking. So he was 10. My daughter was 12 at the time, and I had a young one who was 5, and I didn't take him, but I took the two of them to Uganda and Kenya, and we worked with people in permaculture programs there, and they helped me fundraise to support a local course to be run with a, you know, international, like a Ugandan, a Liberian, a South African, all came together to teach this course. I purposely didn't teach because I didn't want to come in and be an about white woman trying to tell them what to do. But so they, with other young people in this school, took a permaculture course in Uganda, and it changed their life, I think. They don't yell about it from the top of the hills, but it's there, deeply infused. And so, again, it's about, like, what context are we creating? It's not what we teach people.
No.
It's in the meta. It's in what's around you. And you don't have to be in an eco village to do that. It can simply be in the conversations that you have or what you notice when you're walking around. You know, I was thinking about what I noticed with my son. My youngest son's 13 now, and we're walking around and we're looking at the clouds and talking about how, you know, we see the wind moving and where the, you know, how the mist is popping. You know, like, we're just noticing that kind of stuff. And even without me prompting him, I hear him telling me, oh, Mum, did you see that over there? And it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Because my daughter, when she was 16, ended up going to ANU to start studying her degree. She just raced through high school as a homeschooler and then thought, right, I want to go and do politics, philosophy, economics and linguistics at ANU. And so I took a big deep breath and I went down with her and helped her get settled in to do this. As we're walking through the campus, we're going, oh, look, there's some rosemary. You can harvest that for your dinner. Or there's some lily berries. And we were looking at this ANU landscape and the food. Our lens of reading the landscape was the food systems. Mm-hmm. And so she was really excited by this. You know, look at all the food, Mum. And then the next day she said, I met these people and I started walking around the campus and I was like picking berries or harvesting the thing. And they said, what are you doing? She said, well, this is this.
And food everywhere.
How do you know this stuff? Yeah. And she just took, it was like took her back a bit. She said, well, how do you not know this stuff. And for her, it was that realization at that point that I, you know, that most of the landscape around it is just a green backdrop. And so she's doing the same thing now as well, noticing with people. And it's not going around sort of going, that's a this and that's a this and naming it and trying to be very smart. It's just inviting people into the noticing of where you are and slowing down enough to be present in that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that. It's like, how do you take a breath enough to slow down and notice, you know, how the river is meandering through and, you know, like just that is important.
That brings me, obviously, to Indigenous knowledge. You have got an Indigenous speaker, haven't you, at the
absolutely
the festival. Talk to me about that.
Mm. Well, every festival, we bring voices from all around the world, Indigenous voices from various parts of the world. But this year, Tyson Yunkaporta is joining us. And I have to say I'm a little bit terrified interviewing him because he's so wild, you know. Like,
does he teach at Melbourne University? Or
Deakin. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, and so not only are we talking with Tyson about what ancient stories can teach us, and you know, like, I mean, as he said, and as many Indigenous speakers at various events before, saying, "Well, permaculture is not new. Like, get over yourself. Like, permaculture is really the kind of way that everyone has
it's
always
normal. It's the it normal is just way normal. To live.
It's humaning. It's being a human.
Yeah.
That's how you live in place before we started this sort of the corporate capitalization, extracting, colonizing project. Like, let's just go back a little way.
It's not very far.
Not very far. Most of human history in all time has been doing this. So what it does remind us is that permaculture is really just is a sort of a bridge to help kind of Western folks to re-understand what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and in other places where, say, for example, like the young refugees I was talking about, their traditional practices were that. And when they talk to their grandparents or their great-grandparents, they'll say that, but they talk about it as a memory because a lot of that has been erased, as it is in most cultures. The Green Revolution across the world erased that. You know, a lot of the young women I talk with come from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the erasure of their cultures and their places and their lands has been almost so complete for such a long time that those traditional knowledges are so absolutely fragmented. I mean, we hear this in every place that's been colonized.
It only takes one generation, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's and so what this is doing is the permaculture project in a way is not trying to teach you, okay, here's a whole set of tools and techniques and do this. It's about, I think what it's about is helping to teach us how to notice where we are, what place we're in, who we're in it with, what was there before, what's possible. And so really to step into that imaginal space and to kind of dream into what it could be and to pull together fragments of knowledge that have been, like, it's all of those things all together. Mm. And that in actual fact, one of the biggest things too about it is how to think, like, to diminish the footprint of humans as far as possible. So that's that wilding thing. But also to recognize that Australia wasn't wild when we got here. It was, you know, a beautiful mosaic landscape full of human interaction and co-evolution. I mean, we've co-evolved. So it's like remembering back into that space. And so Tyson talks about this so beautifully. And I'm so delighted that he is coming to join us in this space. He also suggested that I share his film, Imagine. So that's going to be happening a couple of days afterwards. There'll be a link that gets shared out with folks. So that's really exciting. It's an animated film. And interestingly, it also includes it's on a young girl, like 15 years old, on a sort of a exploratory journey, and her dog that accompanies her has the voiceover of Tyson.
Okay.
And then there's all these creatures that come in, and one of the creatures is Fritjof Capra as well. So okay. he's talk So that's very cool, the sort of the intermingling of the various voices that are in the festival are also in the film, which I think is beautiful. So I'm really delighted that Tyson is joining us. I'm also really delighted that you know, like the professor from Palestine is joining us. I'm really delighted that there's young activists who are at the forefront of the war that's going on in Lebanon, the young people from the Democratic Republic of Congo. You know, like this guy I talked to last night, so he came across from Congo to Uganda as a refugee, and he left when he was a young teenager because his family was slaughtered in front of him in a Congo. What happens, they tell me, is that and so it's just really interesting to notice, like when you hear these stories, it's really traumatizing. You want to block them out and not know them. And it's taken, you know, like I feel incredibly traumatized by knowing this, but I also want to be a vessel enough to hold and listen, to hear and to presence their voices, because they're often get, you know, hidden away. I mean, the thing about why the Congo is, you know, it's international corporations that are coming in and paying private militia to clear areas so the corporations can come in and do the mining in that places. So even if they do get out of this nowhere place that they're in and go back, there's nothing to go back to. It's a great big mining hole that, you know, getting the precious metals which are going into our digital technology. And so we're all complicit in this. And there's no getting away. We can hide away from it. We can imagine it's not possible, that a lot of our sustainable solutions, a lot of our things that I do, and I recognize the irony of this. Like I'm on digital platforms to communicate this out, which is supporting, you know,
I know.
it's so entangled, and it's
No.
impossible to disentangle ourselves from this, except to speak to the challenges, to like rip off the band-aid and actually show what's underneath.
Make it overt. Don't,
Yes,
there's
yes.
no, there's a danger in pushing things under.
Yes.
This is, you know, it just gives rise to Nazism. You know, that loneliness epidemic in itself is, you know, that leads to young men getting involved in unhealthy ideologies and all the rest of it. So it is all interlinked, and I really don't believe in shoving anything.
No.
You really have to face it, and then you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
But that
And
brings
also
me. Sorry.
it shifts to me, because I've noticed often when I talk about refugees, say for example, you know, I'm saying, oh, I'm doing this, and the, you know, the money's going there, and people get that sort of like, oh, refugees, and like, we don't, and it's a really icky kind of response that you get. Like, these people don't actually identify as being refugees. They have sought refuge from violence in places. Their
And they've got
identity's not.
ambitions about where they're heading.
Yes, exactly. And their intelligences and their creativity and their possibility and their heart and compassion. Gosh, like most amazing conversations and humans that I have ever come across. And so, yeah, I just think it's really important that we bring those threads of conversation, as difficult as they are, into this. Like, you know, it's not just like, okay, in permaculture, we're going to kind of create our lovely little homesteads. Okay, we need to simplify our lives. We need to create the most simplified way in which we can exist, so that our impact is far less. And so, if, you know, if we're, this is where I got to. You know, I was saying I was an activist on the streets, and you know, I was like anti-logging, anti this, anti that. It's like, okay, but what is it that's going to stop our forest from being chopped down? What is it that's going to create greater levels of peace? What is it that, how we behave, how we act, how we show up in the world, how we engage in the economy, how we feed ourselves? What is that? And that's the piece that we need to be working on.
Can I ask a question? That when I imagine the future, what I think is the best possible scenario, given the entrenchment of of power in especially in the large corporations, I think we're going to have some kind of highly centralized aspects of our existence on the planet, and then the rest of it's going to be have to be highly decentralized. So if you could talk about that, or even just talk about how do you even think about this stuff in the face of that kind of power, the problem of that
You
power?
know, it's it. The, I want to come back to talking about hosting and playing again, because you can imagine, we need to imagine futures, but we can't create it so that we have a set outcome if that's what we want to do. Like, we need to sort of think more about what are the qualities of what it is, not the quantities. What are the qualities of
the values, the
ethics, all of that. And how do we create, that's cultural tissue. How do you create new cultural tissue? It's by being together and having conversations around. It's not something we do alone. It's something we do when we come together in like the festival, and people have these conversations together, and they sort of new ideas percolate into their brain or into their heart or something. And then that sort of, you know, ferments and something else happens. And then we, you know, what's happening too is a lot of people are gathering together with their friends over lunch to listen to certain things. And then they'll have a conversation about what that means. I just heard the other day from a friend, they said, they're going to go out walking in the forest, listening to it quietly and then find a spot at the end of the trail and sit and talk about it. And so it's that bit. It's about how do we find ways to, on purpose, intentionally create places where we can gather to talk about things that matter in an ongoing way. It's not just like, today I'm going to have a chat about that, done, mm-hmm. right, that's a mm-hmm. tick, tick that, now I'm on to the next thing. It's mm-hmm. like, how do we create those, that process, and bring the active hope in and feed in things that are going to activate our sense of possibility?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And so, sorry, just to finish up that thing, yes, I think we need to have an international communication going on so that it's not just sort of getting these little parochial pockets.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hyper-localize our action and what we're doing and feel safe in our places and in our communities and know our neighbors and know our, you know, where our food's coming from, all those sorts of things, so that we have the basic things covered. But then there does need to be a sharing and a celebration, you know, like Satish Kumar, who's another guest on it, you know, he talks a lot about this, like, the celebration of this, you know, we can, and another guest too that's coming is Rob Hopkins, and he talks a lot about this. He talks about imagination. So he started in permaculture, then moved into, he created the Transition Town movement.
Okay, yeah.
Got born out of permaculture, which is really about going, well, how do we do it together? How do we do it in a town? How do we do it in a neighborhood? And then now his main focus is talking about, well, how do you fall in love with the future? And he's really talking about that. We have this sort of sense of like dystopian futures. He says, let's fall in love with the future. Like, let's imagine that there is a Thrutopia, which is another guest. Manda Scott, check out, come and see Manda Scott when she's at the festival. She's a Thrutopian author, podcaster. Her podcast is called Accidental Gods, and she coined this term Thrutopia. So it's like, you know, we've got dystopias and utopias, which seem impossible, but how do we get through it? You know that there's that little storybook about we've got to go through it, can't go over it, can't go in, go through
going
it.
Going on a bear.
I remember reading that to my kids, but it's that through, we've got to go through it. Like, it'll be bumpy, it'll be rocky, it's going to be hard, it's going to be, but how do we find our way through it? And what are the stories? What are the stories that we're telling ourselves as cultural beings about the ways through?
Mm-hmm.
And what Rob's talking about is falling in love with the future, and that was like drawing us forward into imagining possibilities. Mm-hmm. And it's not like this one big glowing ball of future that we imagine. It's all the little mm-hmm. micro imaginings that we do together. Mm-hmm. And instead of the doom scroll thing, instead of like going, well, it's all, it's too late. Like, it's not. It's that active hope.
Tune in to Billabong Beats Tuesdays at 11 a.m. with me, Gavin Moore, giving a voice to both Western Kulin and Kulin First Nations peoples. join me to talk about philosophy and dreamtime stories surrounding the waterhole, the sacred fire, the land, the plants and animals. Billabong Beats, 11 a.m. Tuesdays on 3CR.
Disasters like flood, fire, and extreme heat can have a significant impact on people's lives. Community legal centres help people experiencing challenges posed by climate change and disasters to access the resources and support they need. Disasters can lead to a range of problems, such as damage to your home, poor conditions with your rental home, difficulty getting insurance, issues within families, at work, and with Centrelink payments. Community legal centres can be found across Victoria and can provide help if you've been affected by a disaster. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres website at fclc.org.au. You can also contact Disaster Legal Help Victoria on 1800 113 432 and go to its website for helpful information at disasterlegalhelp.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm chatting with permaculture teacher Morag Gamble.
I'm thinking of Satish Kumar, and his story is that he walked, didn't he, across the whole world. He walked from India to London or something. So I always think that someone who does that knows stuff that the rest of us don't know. You know, he's walked through all these different cultures. He's met all these different people. He knows stuff about humanity. That people like that, I really think, is important to listen to what they've got to say.
And he's 90.
Is he?
Yeah. I met him at Schumacher College way back in 1992. And also Fritjof Capra. And
what are these big names?
Something shifted in me being in the conversations that happened around their worlds. And so Satish, yes, has a beautiful, compassionate, deeply present way of being that makes us all feel like his latest book's title is Peace is Possible. And his previous book last year, still writing like a book a year, was about radical love and, you know, love for self, love for, you know, our community, love for planet, and really deeply resonating. So, yeah, Satish's story is remarkable, and I see him as one of those people who offer us kind of that sort of ethical guidance and grounding. Mm-hmm. He was in the presence of Martin Luther King, and he was inspired by, you know, Bertrand Russell, who was a 90-year-old who went to jail for peace. Mm. And so his journey across the planet, he went to each of the places that were nuclear powers.
He went to each of the leaders, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. And offered them tea.
That's right. Yep.
Satish, this is just an extraordinary. He says, well, where he came from, he was a Jain monk, and his the person that he was working with, Vinod Bhave, worked with Mahatma Gandhi. And so his role was to walk around India and to work with communities to release land for the untouchables, to release land for people who had no land but who were serving everyone else. And so he, in his walk around India, released 4 million acres of land that then got just handed to the communities, and so it could be there for in perpetuity for communities. So basically re-establishing commons.
Yep.
It's like if you come from that basis of thinking, yep, this is in service of life, in service of people, in service of those who don't have the resources, but through the kindness and walking for years without any money. So
he deliberately decided not to have anything to do with money, didn't he?
Absolutely. And yeah, what is that? And so, and he created Schumacher College and the small school and research of nothing, you know, like, so this is the thing. And yeah, this is part of why I guess the inspiration for the festival, how do you create something out of nothing? Like, I have no budget. I have no team. I have, I have my daughter, sorry, Maya, you know, and this festival that's got 40 speakers over 6 days, reaching out to the world, thousands of people, Jen, and thousands of dollars going back to refugees out of nothing, out of this sort of sense of love and hope and kindness to go out into the world. And that's inspired entirely, I think, by Satish Kumar.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's directly inspired, just to sum up, by every wise person that's ever lived and ever got, you know, put pen to paper or got known or got talked about. And so that stuff's always there. And I think if that stuff wasn't active in the world, then we would be just at each other. We would have destroyed each other ages ago. So that stuff's just as active as the crazy animal stuff that we get into, isn't it? We might leave it there. I was going to I was going to talk about the actual problems that we're facing, you know, climate change, biodiversity loss, water scarcity, food insecurity, pollution, economic
inequality. Well, all of those things, but I really believe we can really tend to, yeah, yeah, by, you know, like a permacultural approach, whether you call it permaculture or not. It's actually the opposite. It's bringing more complexity into the system, more diversity.
Wildness.
Yeah, more wildness. Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, so for me, that's why I teach permaculture. And that's why, in actual fact, I teach permaculture teachers and leaders and communicators now and create the space. That's the courses that I run, because that's to address climate change, to address poverty and hunger and soil degradation and, you know, economic control, all these things we can tend to through this approach. It's like it's a shift in paradigm and a shift in action.
Yeah, totally.
And so for me, permaculture is a way to bring in all these different ideas into a practical action. So it's what the young perma youth used to call it, it's like practivism, positive practical activism.
Yep. And I think that's the meaning of praxis as well. It's some where theory and practice come together, because they're just useless on their own.
One informs the other, and it keeps informing each other. You never get stuck that way, because you're constantly you know, evolving and growing.
Yeah, and open to that too, open to the evolution. Yep.
Yeah.
Morag, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and I'm so glad you reached out to us through your daughter, was it?
It was, Maya. Yeah, she's good on her. Thanks, Maya. Yeah.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to Local Food Connections, and today we've been speaking with Morag Gamble, a highly inspirational carnival of ideas there. Gives me hope, just at least for this day, just to have had this conversation. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, you can become a 3CR subscriber. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more radical radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anne. Really lovely to chat with you.
You are what you eat. And you are what you eat. And you're even.
Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers, and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio, and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Local Food Connections, a show about the importance of local food in sustainable communities.
Here we go from dust to dust. You gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain from whence you came.
you a 3CR subscriber?
We really need our listeners to subscribe to the station. It helps us remain financially independent and is an important part of our community governance.
It's just $40 concession, $80 waged, $150 for a band or organisation, and $300 solidarity.
Become a 3CR subscriber today.
3CR, Radical Radio.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.